You know, the name, if you looked in the bulletin, you'd see, I thought, was a really interesting title of the sermon for today. Celebrating a Sheep's Life. And you know, it's interesting that the discipline, as we're coming to the last of the disciplines, we talked about the disciplines, inward disciplines of prayer and of fasting and of meditation and study. And we've talked about the outward disciplines of simplicity and service and submission. And we've also had the Lord give us messages with regards to confession and worship and guidance. And so in this series that the Lord has taken me through, and I've tried faithfully to be able to take us all through, and that is the corporate discipline of celebration. Celebration is so important corporately because it really does, it's a very important of our nature of how we were created. We were created to celebrate together in good times and bad times, because we experience it in our health. When we isolate ourselves for long periods of time, we can go into a very dark places in a downward spiral. But when we step out in faith and reach out and celebrate together, it actually is healing to the mind, the body, the soul, and the spirit. And we need corporate celebration. We need our time to celebrate together. That's why I hope that all of you will come to our house. It's very close here in Piedmont, and we'd love to have you. Let's celebrate together in our daily walk with the Lord. Robert H. Harris, I love the fact that he said, you know, a true expression of Christianity, what our community really needs to see in Piedmont, is that Christians are not always sighing, but in fact are singing. Have we been singing? Or is most of our days spent sighing? Inwardly and telling other people how much we're sighing. Or is there a song in your Christianity? Joy is the echo of God's life in yours. Are we experiencing the joy of ecstatic celebration? Because if we don't have joy, if we're not joyful in season and out of season, quite frankly, it's a very death-breathing life experience that is much like modern-day Pharisees. I want every single person in God's family to experiencing celebration and joy. It should be, as Augustine of Hippo said, the Christian should be an alleluia from head to toe. Do you know that in Philippians chapter 4, it says that we are to rejoice in the Lord always? And then he says it, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Therefore, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Part of that joy comes because we're experiencing the actual peace of God. And you know what? Later on in that chapter, it talks about the fact, and the God of peace will be with you always. Much like a shepherd. You know, a shepherd and a staff are very important to God. It's interesting how not only from the beginning in the Genesis, Exodus, especially with Moses and leaving Egypt and wandering in the wilderness, all the way to the book of Revelation, where the Lord had the Apostle John using a staff to measure things in the temple. The idea, though, about celebration, I think each of us would be actually able to agree with this, but in my mind, the most probably greatest moment of celebration not only here on earth, but in heaven, was when the angel announced the Savior's birth. We read in Luke chapter 2, but an angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. For today, in the town of David, a Savior is born, the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. And it's about a little baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." But at that point, guess what happened? Suddenly, there was a great company of heavenly hosts who appeared with the angel, and they praised God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." Could you find no other greater time in human history than the birth and announcement of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Now, today, as you see on the marquee, is the first week of Lent, right? And during Lent, we all read about the fact that Lent should be a time, especially in our first week of Lent, of self-reflection, where we need to be praying and probably end up leading to mourning and weeping and confessing and repenting. So I could just see some of your guys' minds stirring, going, then if this is a time of lament, why is the pastor bringing a message on Psalm 23? And how in the world can that ever relate to celebration? Because if you look in the commentaries and you look at all the writings, actually Psalm 23 is a psalm of lament. How do you have celebration if during our time we're in hardship, we have heavy burdens that we're carrying, there's loss, and there's like no end of grieving? How could there be any space for celebration? Well, Psalm 23 is a psalm that the Psalter wrote of trust. If you'll turn in your Bibles with me, let's read together this short psalm of only 6 verses. Psalm 23. And in some translations, it's captioned "The Divine Shepherd." "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." My prayer for you and for me today is that each of us would be fully blessed in the reading of God's Word. You know, in the Old Testament, during this time of celebration, or what they used to call the year of Jubilee, this was a time of showing gratitude about the gracious provision that God pours out on each one of us. So during that year of Jubilee, what happens is debts get canceled, slaves get released, they don't grow any crops, they let the soil settle, and properties that had been exchanged go back to their original owner. But you know what? I don't think in our society today we have time for a year of Jubilee. It's so hectic. It's so conflicting. People with interests go this way. People with other interests go this way. They figure out how they can be able to combine interests in order to go that way. And it's just all mixed together. So hectic. So confusing. Quite frankly, for me, it can really create a tremendous amount of anxiety. And certainly, there is no freedom of joy or celebration. The joy of the Lord is not just feeling good. Because how can you person who feel good if they're going through a time of suffering, if they're going through a time of sorrow, if they're going through disappointments, if they're going through losses, if they're going through pain, where is the joy of the Lord? Sometimes, unfortunately, we self-inflict ourselves with selfishness. And selfishness and looking inward results in us missing the joy of the Lord. But I'll tell you this, it's never too late with the Lord. The Lord always says, if you seek me and are thankful and you humbly submit yourself to me with thanksgiving, the Lord will reveal his joy to you, even in the darkest places. I want you to keep your Bibles open, and I want you to, again, join with me as we could, as we very quickly go through Psalm 23, because I truly believe I want to give you some thoughts here, some past, present, and future tense of these six verses. And I hope that it helps minister to you as it ministered to me. The first one is verses 1 through 3. In verses 1 through 3, we're talking about past tense. Now here the Psalter refers to God as shepherd. He's talking about the shepherd. Now if you look here, if you go back to the Hebrew, in the translation of the Hebrew here, the word Lord is Yahweh. Yahweh was the name God gave to himself. And here, the name Yahweh means that you are not only talking about the Creator himself, but you're talking about a personal, intimate relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, or my shepherd is the Lord. Therefore, I don't lack anything. I lack nothing because I have heard my shepherd's voice and I follow him. No matter what's going on all around us, in chaos that's going on, keep your eyes on the shepherd because he is close. The shepherd actually stands in front of you. He stands in front of you and makes sure that you lie down. Now, one of the things, we used to live up in Fayetteville, North Carolina, out in the country, and one of my friends out there actually had 1,000 acres, and one of the reasons why he's able to have it as farmland is he rented it out as a place for sheep to graze. And many a times I'd see these sheep going out there, and they get themselves all cut up on cactus. And then sometimes I'd actually see them out there, the big fat ones, or the ones that have a lot of wool on them. They'll try to lie down, but they end up laying down sideways. That's called casting. And the sheep can't get up. When they are laying sideways, it takes the shepherd to help lift the sheep up so the sheep can lie down. But you know what? The sheep won't lie down yet until they've eaten. Sheep will never lay down until they have eaten. So the shepherd has to take the sheep out to green pastures. When I was in northern Afghanistan, there was a couple of hills out there near where we were stationed. And there was only certain times of the year that that mountaintop had green grass on it. Somehow or another, it will not grow anything all year long except for in a certain month. It'll crop up real fast and it will go away just as fast. So the shepherd needs to know where the green pastures are in the seasons of where all these mountains and all these hills and all these valleys are, to make sure that they not only eat well and not overeat, make sure that they lie down properly and have fed on green pastures. And he leads me beside still waters. Sheep are very, very anxious animals. They're very skittish. And as a result, if there is a roaring creek that is moving or a river that's moving very fast, no matter how thirsty they are, they will not go near the water. So the shepherd actually has to create a makeshift dam in order to kind of hole out a pool area that has still or silent water. And once he's created that dam and that pool of water, the sheep will come and they'll drink. God does that for us every single day. So as our past tense, our good shepherd will go before us and he will provide for us. And then he leads my in paths of righteousness for his namesake. That word righteousness is actually in Hebrew can be translated righteousness or rightness. Either way, sheep have a tendency to go wandering off, and they'll go someplace so that they shouldn't. And the shepherd will take the crook of his staff, and he'll bring them and lead them along. But what the psalter is saying here is, whether it's righteousness, the path of righteousness, or the path of rightness, our good shepherd will lead us in righteous living and rightness living in our minds, our bodies, our hearts, our souls, and our spirits. He is intimately acquainted with all of our ways and our tendencies and our shortcomings and our tendency sometimes to scoot away from the sheep, from the rest of the sheep and the shepherd, and we go get into problems. But he leads us back on the right path. And do you know why he does that? He does that for his name's sake. Many times you'll see in Scripture where God says, I love you and I am doing this not for your sake, but for my name's sake. Because it's my name as the Creator that is on the line here. Now, we talked about in verses 1 through 3, the past, that God, Yahweh, as our shepherd, goes before us to provide for us. Everybody see that? Then look at verse 4. We shift. The poet shifts, going from the third person in talking about God to the second person and talking to God. In verse 4, he is talking directly to God. We've gone from the past to the present. The present is our Lord always walks beside us. And do you know why that is? It's because he wants to have fellowship with us and he wants to guide us. So we see in verse 4, even though I walk through. Did you notice here? And it can also be translated from the Hebrew, even though I walk in, or even though I walk into the valley of the shadow of death. This also can be translated into deep darkness. We need to understand it's not a matter of if. We will always, wherever there are mountains, there are always going to be valleys. Wherever there are hilltops with sun shining on it, there's always going to be dark shadows in the valleys below. So it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when you and I will go through dark shadows, including death in this lifetime. But yet, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. In other words, his fellowship is with us. He is so excited to be here and to be along, walking with us and guiding us. And what does he use? He uses his rod, which is a little stick or a club that he throws at predators or kind of shooshes a sheep back in the herd, and he uses his staff, which is kind of a walking stick, and he uses it for different reasons. And you know what those rods and those staffs and the very presence of Yahweh, our good shepherd, is? He's a comfort to us. A lot of times when we are in dark places, we could celebrate because the Lord says, I am with you. I will comfort you. Do not be afraid. And then finally, in verses 5 through 6, we look at the future. We looked at the past, where he provided for us. We looked at the present, where he fellowships and guides us. And then lastly, verses 5 and 6, we look at the future, where he, as a host of a grand brawl, a grand banquet, he is behind us in order to protect us. Verse 5 says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and anoints my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Did you recognize this here? Now, I will tell you, this book right here, by Philip Keller, I encourage you to read it. It's called A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. It's a very, very good book on Psalm 23. He has a tendency, he says, in order to keep with the theme of the shepherd and the sheep,
will say that shepherds will, there are what are called tables. You guys, anybody familiar with that in geology? A lot of times these mountains will have flat areas, and the shepherd will lay out a blanket that's called a table. And a lot of times when he anoints the sheep with oil, he's putting it on the ram's horns in order to keep the flies off the sheep. But quite frankly, my reading of this in the Old Testament and in the history is that really the Psalter, both, I mean, it's a great thought, but the Psalter is talking about moving from a shepherd to a host. In the future, what our host, shepherd, the Yahweh is doing, he's preparing a banquet. And I am sitting there, and only the host will anoint the special guests. And who is the special guest that the host anoints at this banquet? You. He anoints you with fragrant oils. And you know what? Your cup will never be low. It'll never be empty. It'll always be overflowing. And he'll do that even in the presence of your enemies. And you know why he does that? Because through Jesus Christ our Lord, as our Lord and Savior, and what he did on the cross, our host proves you and I justified and innocent. We have been made innocent because of what the host has done for you and me. Can you celebrate anything more wonderful? Verse 6, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. In fact, that word surely, if you look there in your version there in the pews, it actually means only. See, remember, David was a shepherd. He had a staff, and he had his pouch, and he had his rocks, and he had his sling that he used. But he was a shepherd. And David, throughout his life, probably wrote the Psalm 23 later in his life. He made a lot of mistakes and sinned a lot. But with the shepherd, with the host, and the forgiveness and the justification that Christ did for us, do you know what? All he remembers, it says only goodness and loving kindness. All the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In other words, as long as you live, you will always be under divine protection. God walks behind us throughout our entire life, always because he wants to have our back. And at the same time, while he's behind you, do you know that if you do a deep dive in this passage, it actually says that God is pursuing you? No, I'm going to go one step further. It says that God is chasing after you in order to have a more intimate, more closer walk in fellowship with you. Can you imagine the Creator says, I am chasing you in order for me to have a closer fellowship with you. And do you know why? It's because of his steadfast love for you. St. Bernard is quoted with saying, the name of Jesus is honey in the mouth, music to the ears, and a cry of gladness in our hearts. Even though there are times, like Ecclesiastes 3 says, there's a time to weep, but there's also a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn, but there's also a time to dance. God wants us to seize that. It actually dishonors God when we suppress celebration and joy just as much as trying to seek it as our only thing in our life. Did you know that holy delight and joy is actually an antidote to despair and is a wellspring of genuine gratitude? In Luke chapter 11, there was a lady that said to Jesus, how blessed is the woman who bore the Messiah. Jesus turned and said to her, you know what? It is better for you to obey me than it is to birth me. In other words, Jesus said that he would rather see and bless you more because you are obedient to him and his commands than to have been the mother of the Messiah. Joy only comes through obedience to Christ. And you know what? Joy is a result from obedience to Christ. Jesus changed everything at the cross. In the Old Testament, sheep were slaughtered as a sacrifice for everyone, including the shepherd. In the New Testament, the great shepherd was sacrificed for all the sheep. Do you see that amazing time to celebrate? What are some things that we can be able to celebrate today? We could celebrate the fact that our family, both past and present, because they pray for us. We can thank the Lord and celebrate our faith that with God all things are possible. We could celebrate our church family. I celebrate you, every single one of you, to lean on. I can lean on you and I can get nourishment from you both physically and spiritually. We can be thankful and celebrate our friends who support us, our fitness. There are many who pray to have the kind of physical fitness that you and I have today. Our finances. The world is looking. So many places are just looking for something next to eat. But we could celebrate and thank the Lord for providing that. And then finally, our field of life. That has been granted, that the Lord has granted to us our current lifestyle, our mental state, our business, our job. How about our security as a country? In the words of Fannie Fern, an American newspaper columnist, she was a humorist, a novelist, an author of children's stories from the 1850s to the 1870s, said this: "There are no little things. Little things are the hinges of the universe." As one of Jesus' sheep, now remember, in John chapter 17, verse 2, Jesus made it very clear that the Father gave him, you and me, his sheep. That you are to live your best life by celebrating the little things every day, because the great shepherd is in front of you to provide for you. He is beside you in order to have intimate, close fellowship with you and to guide you. And he is behind you in order to protect you wherever you go until he ushers us into his eternal heavenly kingdom.